League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on an FYF Friday? We are on location at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North in the Canino exit, and we have a triple threat of our own. We have Barry Laminack to my left, Keenan McCardell in front of me, and we have plenty to get to on an FYF Friday. And as you know, Keenan always knows FYF stands for anything goes. We can have fun. We can talk football. We can do it all, and we can do it for a long period of time. We have plenty of updates to get to on what happened last night in the big showdown. No, not at TDECU. No, not in the NFL. But in the Comedy Club World Series, we all need to know
what happened to Barry.
If Barry lost to the Big Dick, if Big Dick pulled it out, or if both of them went home empty-handed, so to speak.
These are all questions
that have to be answered, Barry, before we can proceed with the show.
Yeah. I think we should preface by saying that there was a comedian named Dick in the contest.
Oh, and we have to preface it now?
Did he pull it out?
Did he pull it out or did he put it in?
Barry likes this when we all do his kind of humor.
Yeah. I'm so proud. I feel like my baby birds are leaving the nest.
You got us there. So
I've never been so proud to start a show in my whole life.
It all started when he tells me there's this experienced veteran comedian, Dick. If you lose to Dick, man.
There's an old Dick in the contest, and he did not win, and neither did I.
How many were in the finals?
Eight.
Oh, eight. I thought it was just like a mano a mano thing.
No. There was eight comedians total, and it's what's called a bringer contest. So it's all audience vote.
Okay.
And I brought zero people.
So where was El Jefe when you needed him?
Which doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't.
But I'm really anti bringer shows and bringer contests. It's more organic the other way. It's just a belief you have as a comic. Some comics are good with it. Some don't. I was mentored by old school comics.
Right.
And a lot of those guys hate bringer contests.
If I'm funny, I'm funny.
Yeah. It was kind of like that too. Like if I'm going to win this, I want to win it because I'm funny, not because I brought the most people. Dick did not bring it.
You had the home field advantage.
It is my home club, but that doesn't matter.
Regulars.
That just means I know the staff. That's all.
Was not there.
No norms. No.
Oh man.
El Jefe, where were you?
I was going to say El Jefe was out front in the unmarked.
It was going to take.
And he rolled out with his. His people.
His people. Don't you say?
I was going to say. I would think that Barry would have a sizable advantage over the. Over Dick.
Which would have been the first time.
And the others.
Yeah.
Dick and the boys, so to speak.
Dick and the crew. I don't think one vote was going to help me. But I will say this, a credit to the winner. He had a good set. So at least because in contests like this, it never fails that you'll have a guy that just brings a lot of people or a girl that brings a ton of people and is not a good comic, but they win anyways because they brought the most people. And in this case, to his credit, the winner had a good – everybody had a good set last night.
Okay.
So it was good competition. And it was fun. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
It's a winner and a loser, right?
That's right. At the end of the day, you know what you're getting into, and if you don't bring people, you don't stand a good chance of winning. So
did you tip your cap and head down 45 and catch the end of the U of H game?
No, but I will tell you that during the contest – And even after, my Twitter would not stop blowing up for all the hate tweets I got.
Yeah, you're,
for my comments yesterday.
And your future, your
well-deserved
statement from the future is going to haunt you forever.
What my what? That? Nick said well-deserved.
Yeah, Nick, you got to get
did
in here.
Did you see the show liner today?
What?
The outline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous thing. So our U of H honk producer, Nick, puts together the show outline, and in basically every segment, all it says is Louisville blows. Louisville blows. Cougars are the best.
That was
Louisville
for you.
Blows. Like, we're going to talk for 3 hours,
Nick,
about how
all
bad
I
Louisville
could think
is.
About was you and Scott in Deer Park just waiting to get to Barry. Yeah. And to get to that whole segment from the future when he was talking about
the downs
for Lamar Jackson and all the things that Mr. Jackson, sorry, Mr. Jackson.
I was on your side there.
I appreciate
that. I must say, I thought he was coming in.
They surprised me. No, I'll be the first one to say it. I congratulated both Nick and Scott last night on Twitter because I said, man, after the Oklahoma game, I saw this being a huge game that U of H was going to win. I looked at it going into the game yesterday and said, man, Louisville has so much more to lose, and because they got screwed in the top four and they were sitting right on the outside looking in, this was one of those statement games, national TV, Thursday night. They got a chance to go in, make a huge statement, blow U of H out, and say, look, we deserve to be a part of this. And I tip my hat to Tom Herman, and I say, hey, the Cougs, and I've said this before, no one can out-prepare Tom Herman, but you look at Tom Herman's record as an underdog in big-time games.
Right.
He's undefeated.
And that's what people were saying. Even the intern yesterday that did our show and that did the Blitz was saying that. He goes, hey, man, he disagreed with what I said. But I wish I knew his name. And Nick, if you know who it was, you know, please tell me so I can say it over there. But he to his credit, he said, hey, man, I agree with everything you said, but go back and look at Tom Herman's record when he has time to prepare for a big game.
Yeah.
And he did. Yeah. And he did well. They did well.
I was surprised at how bad Louisville looked. Like,
was it bad?
It was a short week. Yeah. Yes, it looked so bad from a player and a coach standpoint. They looked slow.
Yep.
They looked like they were out coached.
Now,
even in the at the beginning of the second half, they start to get some momentum to come back. But when he fumbled the ball, when Lamar Jackson fumbled the ball, they were going in to score and he fumbled. Let the air out of the whole.
There was some tight grape sacks going into that second drive
until he fumbled.
There were some people that thought, they still got a shot.
The momentum was coming, but if you looked at it, I mean, and I start to break it down. You know, Louisville was unprepared. They couldn't stop a 2-man blitz to the same side. I was shocked that guys were coming free.
Ed Oliver is one heck of a talent.
Right.
But Ed Oliver and his crew with 11 sacks.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you how bad a Bobby Petrino offense really was. Because Bobby Petrino, as Sean will tell you, he's an offensive guru. I mean, he is really good on the offensive side of the ball. But you're right. From the offensive line to the skill positions to even Jackson himself, they kept showing him on the sidelines. He never looked like he was worried. Like, we got this. It's all good.
Because they've been in that situation before last week against Wake Forest. You know, they can come back. That's how gifted and skilled the kid thinks he is.
That's great.
And that's great. But his teammates weren't thinking that way. And, I really think this put a little dent in his Heisman Trophy.
A little bit, you think?
Just a little bit. I mean, I don't.
You still think he's going to win?
Yes.
Okay.
I really do. I mean, this put a little dent in it to get some people to get closer to him. But, I mean, you still see the talent. I mean, he's by far the best college player in the game right now.
How much of this game, because, again, I didn't get to watch it, but how much of this game do you think Louisville at all overlooked U of H? Do you think that it was like, I mean, they lost to SMU and Navy. Right, this isn't U of H to beat Oklahoma.
But it doesn't take much. Doesn't take much when you look at the tape to go back to the Oklahoma game and go, this team is capable.
Yeah, but
I can understand what you're saying simply because what I said was
you can't because they were ranked in the top
But they're not. They weren't even ranked 10. In the top 25.
They were ranked
anymore.
In the top 10 at the beginning of the year.
I understand Barry's point simply because after the second loss, basically it's like, what do they got left to play for? They went with all these aspirations of being in the Final Four, and now all of a sudden it's like. Yeah, we can make one final statement, but
now they're just playing to survive for a bowl game for the Armed Forces Bowl or the Belk Bowl or whatever.
But now my big question is to the Cougar fans: what if now?
Oh no,
that's a big question. What if?
Yeah. Well, one of the best tweets I saw too was the fact that they were like, "Congratulations on the win. Also, congratulations on losing your head coach because that pretty much submitted."
This is where I was going, and this is what Keenan and I were talking about this morning. So I want to set the table, and then we'll all sit down and eat. But the biggest thing that I have to say right now that Keenan and I were discussing on the way over here is, did you really want to win this game if you were the U of H Cougars? And was winning this game the worst thing that could have happened to the program? I'll leave it at that. ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Why would you drive down there, fight that traffic for a loss, for a dismantling, for a murder?
They're going to come in here and have an H-Town takeover of their own.
I mean, truth be told, if I didn't have that comedy contest tonight, I would probably watch some Lamar Jackson beating up U of H.
Second down. It'll be another sack for Stephen Taylor.
Stephen Taylor just having a monster night.
I told you 17-21 is what I'm expecting.
36-10, the final score.
Well, you know
Nick
what?
Is having a great time,
and
this.
I love it.
What
and I
love
it. But here's
he
the thing:
kept the mic
this is the most
that.
Production we've ever gotten
ever.
Out of Nick,
ever,
ever, Nick. Ever. From sound effects to music to everything, aside from being the DJ, he spent more time on that, and I loved it. That's
Nick,
fantastic.
That's great.
I hope you guys all saved your PSLs for your seats on the bandwagon because it is officially getting crowded again. For a while there, wait. You could get any seat you wanted. Best seats in the house.
Well, Scott Deer
Cougar
Park
bandwagon.
Has got you in his crosshairs, too.
I mean, oh, I'm
you
telling
know
you.
That's right.
I got three tweets right away. And two were from LFA, which LFA said I was at home watching U of H prove Barry wrong. That's why he didn't come to the contest. And Scott Deer Park said, sorry, Barry, I would have shown up, but I was at the most amazing football game.
Now, if Scott stormed the field, we got problems because I'm sure he plowed a path for anybody that needed
he'd
to get to or from.
He'd have been
at 6'5 and three bills.
12th and 13th,
Scott from
man.
Deer Park
no doubt.
Was basically his built-in snowplow. He was taking people out if they got in his way. But before the break, I teased it like that for a reason because, Mac, you and I were talking about this, and the one thing that I said worries me is because, Barry, kind of what you were saying with the team itself, because of the loss to SMU and the loss to Navy, U of H had kind of fallen off the radar, but so had Tom Herman, and it wasn't all the hype that was there after the win to Oklahoma and until they lost the game. My question is, did that win hurt you because now Tom Herman solidified his position as a one hell of a football coach, as a guy that will never get out prepared, as a guy that will take the biggest game on the biggest stage and make sure his team's ready to play, whether they win or not, and basically he's proven they'll win when they're underdogs. Did that now take your coach and propel him to LSU, Oregon, Texas? They're all coming with bags of money now again. I hope not because I really like Tom Herman.
Right.
And I really think not only what he's done for the program, but the fact that he's embraced the city of Houston has been fantastic for all involved and all to see. But I think that win last night, I just think they're going to throw so much money at him that they're not going to be able to keep him.
I mean, I'm right along with you, but, you know, I think if I was the boosters over at University of Houston, I would be throwing money at him to keep him here. But,
yeah.
You know, one of the jobs that he said he would love is the Texas job. We don't know what's going to happen with that. If Texas continues to win, you just never know. They could keep Charlie. The other job that he said he would love, he would think about would be the USC job. And now they're winning. You know, Clay Helton, he's doing a great job up there. So, you know, now
they're winning now.
They're winning. So that's out of the picture.
Probably.
So I think it's out of the picture. The jobs that probably would intrigue him would be the LSU job. I don't know about Oregon.
I'm with Sean.
I don't know about Oregon
John,
going up
if
there.
If Ogeron runs the table, he ain't going nowhere.
Trapp loves Ogeron, and yeah. Ogeron Trapp played for Ogeron, and he was saying that Ogeron's a Louisiana guy.
Yep.
I just think to the same thing you said about boosters, LSU's going to say we need a big name.
Yes.
That is going to carry on, not from a marketing standpoint, but that image and everything that goes with it. What I will say is when you look at what Herman's done and where he wants to go and what he's thinking. The thing is that with the money that they're going to drop on him, it's going to be hard to say no, because everybody says Oregon. Oregon's Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike. That's his school. So when you think about his recruiting, he can take what he's already done in the city of Houston and bring it with him to Oregon. Then he can also recruit the West Coast. Then he can also look and get one or two guys on the East Coast. And he can say, look, we're sponsored by Nike. We change our uniforms every week. Guys love that. If you go to that campus and see the players' facilities, you're like, they all get a luxury apartment like the ones on One Park Place down in Houston.
Right. But do you want to live in Oregon? Does his wife want to live
Eugene,
in Oregon?
Yeah, Eugene, Oregon is a bit Oregon of a culture shock.
Is a different thing.
You're right.
You know, and I think he loves the community here. And I think, you know, the only job right now I think he really would look at would be the Texas job.
But
that's just me saying that. I think he wants the Texas job.
Right. One thing I did want to say, you talked about no one prepares better than he does.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in SMU. Kind of. Those are big stains on his record. That's like you can't if he would have lost to OU and beaten Louisville or vice versa.
The big games, the Florida State games, the Oklahoma games, the games where he's been the underdog and it's a huge game. He's got him ready to play.
That's
a fair point.
I say that to answer the question, in that I think he'll go, but I think this whole season. Once he lost to Navy and SMU, it cost him a lot on that check. So I think Texas is going to get a discount.
I think
I
don't think he gets a discount. I mean, the market is the market, and he's a hot coach.
Here's what
negotiations go in a business like this. Don't you guys still negotiate for salaries as coaches?
Yes.
So you're telling me that a college isn't going to go, well, UT, Tom, we'd love to have you, and we think that together this university and you can do great things. But you did lose to Navy.
If you don't write the right number down, guess what?
It's going to be more than what Houston pays you, but it's not going to be what we were going to give you before the Navy and SMU games, right? No. So let's find a number in between there. We'll keep it short, maybe 3 or 4 years, and then if you win and have some success, we'll re-sign you at a much higher salary.
I don't think he'll sign a 3 or 4 year deal with anybody. I think it's going to be eight-year deal somewhere.
Yeah, solidify
so he can build a program. And
I don't think the number is going to go down. That Barry kind of – but this is where I was going with the UT situation and as well as Ogeron and LSU. Both those schools are smart enough to know they're sitting on guys that they can at least short-term do some things with still.
Right.
And they don't want to jump the gun. UT does not want to pull the trigger too quick on Charlie for a lot of reasons. And Ogeron's a guy, yes. So what they're going to do is, under the table, behind the scenes, they're going to investigate.
Yes.
And if they know that they can work a deal before a deal has to be, you know, announced and talked about, they'll know what Herman's number is and if he is available. And then they'll know if they're there or not. And if they know that they got a fighting shot or that they can wrap it up, then they'll make a move. But if he's hemming and hawing and waiting and they feel like they're going to be on the fence, then I think that's where they're going to be kind of pulling back.
We're good with what we have.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think by bowl preparation week, he'll know where he's going.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to stay.
Just real quick, I was pulling up the ESPN front page, and I passed by. You know, sometimes they have like a stream of text and other things on the right hand side, and I can't find it now. But briefly, it said that Louisville says that they blame their loss on lack of focus. So again, it goes back to what I asked in the first segment. Do you really think that they – because I tend to believe, as bad as this game was, if it was close, then they got outplayed or outcoached. But as bad as this was, I really feel like Louisville overlooked U of H at this point, like a lot of us did. I mean, a 14.5-point spread.
I do. I think that they looked at it and said this isn't the game that they thought it was when the schedule came out.
Yeah.
And they thought
– we can relax now.
Their coach is leaving. They're not in they're not in the top 10 anymore.
Right.
This is one where they're more likely to just take their tents, fold them up, and go home than it is to come out fighting like they would have had it been for all the marbles. But now, a big what if. What if they hadn't lost one or if not both those games to Navy and to SMU? Then everything that we talked about before the season when we looked at that Oklahoma game, saying, hey, if they somehow beat Oklahoma, they could run the table and be right there in the national championship. Now you look at all the one-loss teams, and you look at what's there sitting there at the top with Michigan still having to play Ohio State and all this uncertainty, and you say, what if they only had one loss and or they had beat both Navy and SMU and they got this big win, they'd be in the driver's seat going, this is our chance. This would have been our year.
Yes, and Oklahoma has started to win also,
yep.
So it makes your strength of schedule goes up. And, you know, they're kicking themselves right now. I mean, and even when you get to your point, we'll say that they wasn't focused.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it also, the fans helped out. This is probably the loudest I've ever seen or heard that crowd there, because those kids couldn't hear the snap count. You know,
wow.
they got about five or six illegal procedure penalties because the kids couldn't hear the snap count. They wasn't watching the ball. That's part of being focused. So you got to give kudos to Coach Herman for writing a letter to the fans to tell them to come out to the game, and they responded in a big way.
I tell you, if you look at the box scores, like, because, you know, having not watched the game, all I can do at this point, if you don't DVR it or have time to watch it, is go and look at the box scores. The box scores don't tell you the story of this game by any stretch of the imagination. Gary Ward Jr. had a QBR of 37.9. He did have two touchdowns, but they had a total of 298 yards passing and 64 yards rushing.
Turnovers were the key.
How do you win 36-10 against the number 5 ranked team?
Turnovers
by
and 11
producing
sacks.
That?
Turnovers and 11
that's,
sacks.
That's
turnover,
crazy.
Turnovers and playing defense. They played lights out on defense. They played absolutely
Lamar
great.
Jackson rushed for 33 yards and threw for 211. And I think that's how you can tell the difference in what Louisville did. They shut him down.
Yeah, well, what Houston did was they got out in front. So they wanted to make Lamar a passer.
Nice.
You know, when he can do it, when he could be a dual threat, it's tough to stop him. But when they got out in front so big, it was tough for them to come back. I don't think he has the weapons outside to – Louisville doesn't have the weapons outside to bring them back. So he's their most dynamic player by far.
They thought Smith would have an advantage. He didn't have an advantage. And you know what? I think he started to realize he didn't. That's when you looked at him on the sidelines and went – because you could see him a couple times where he was like – bam, boom. He was like, he was thinking he was going to make that hard, crisp pass to that inside receiver.
And he's
they
gone.
Weren't there, and the D-backs were all over everything he tried to do with the quick snaps to try and do the slants and things. And then when he looked down deep, he never had any open. He got sacked a lot of times because he couldn't go down the field because the U of H secondary had him wrapped up.
This is the best team speed that I've seen out of U of H all year. I mean, even in the Oklahoma game, and I know it was the first game of the season, but this game right here showed what team speed is all about, and they made, like I said earlier, they made Louisville look slow.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing you make a number 5 team look slow on television.
Yeah.
If anybody that watched
a
the game
that
know
looked
what I'm
really
talking
fast
about.
Against Clemson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that and you say, well, and the other thing to me is you got to hope Oliver's okay because you know he put ice on that knee and he didn't return. Now we have some inside sources that say that he was okay after the game because he was hanging out with some peeps. But he was also saying that,
you
know,
threw
that
her under the bus.
Yeah, but I didn't say who, but you did. But at the same time, right, but you identified the male or female. It'll get better from there. But at the same time, you hope it's not serious with him because this is a guy that not only came in as a 5-star, but he's going to leave as a guy going to play on Sundays.
Definitely.
And he showed last night, not just like with his pressure, but the fact that he knew when to show like he was pass rushing, drop back into coverage, bat the pass down, do the things that he was doing. And this is a true freshman. That's when you're saying. And so my question then becomes, Tom Herman as a recruiter did enough to get him to U of H. He's had some – they said they had recruits up the yin-yang last night all over that field, as well they should, to get ready for next season. That's what you have to worry about if you're the U of H, because if he leaves, do they stay? Because can you still get the same kind of coaching and the same kind of program and the same kind of development if Tom Herman's not there? That's a big question for me.
I mean, I think they will. I mean, because you got to put the right head coach in that spot if he leaves. You know, Todd Orlando, the defensive coordinator, has been great.
Yes.
He has been great. I mean, everybody's talking about Major Applewhite being the next guy, but you got to give Todd Orlando a lot of credit for what he's done, I mean, on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they came in as a strength of the team this year, and they've played well. And last night shows you, you know, what kind of recruiting they did. You know,
yeah.
And I think he can carry it on if Herman leaves, but – you know, right now we're in a wait and see. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, yeah. you know,
it's
let's just
and
see.
Speculation right now.
Guessing and speculation.
But
you got to see what happens.
He's in a situation where if you can get the kids in your own backyard,
why
you
leave?
You can continue to win. And there's also the question of why leave. But I answer the question why leave when that Brinks truck puts the beep beep yeah. in reverse and drops it off on your front
That's
porch.
That's a reason to leave.
That's
All right,
a big
so
thing.
A question that we can maybe throw around yep. on the other side. How far does Louisville fall? And where will U of H land back in the top 25? Do they land back in the top 25?
I like to hear right. some of the callers.
Yeah,
let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on your text messages. Text message is the same as the call-in line, 713-780-3776. Or hit us up on Twitter, at Keenan McCardell, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny. We're here till 4. We're at Trailer Wheel and Frame. So matter of fact, if you're driving around kind of close to the north side in I-45, stop in on the Canino exit and see us at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We're here right inside the front doors. They've got everything you need for your truck. Mac, you know that because you've been decorating your trunk and pimping it out for years.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody else should come in here and get the gooseneck dump, get the bumper, get the trailer hitch, get some side view mirrors. Mac, you need those glow-in-the-dark fluorescent.
No, I need the new lights that go on the front, the long bar lights.
I got my steps that you get used to get in the truck, I bought them off of eBay thinking I was going to save some money. They're not level. That's why I need to get some new steps for Trailer Wheel and Frame. That's exactly why you come here.
You don't buy a spiral staircase to go to your truck off of eBay. Like
yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
A problem. You got to work on
that. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad I'm here.
So stop in, see us at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Keenan and Barry, and we are at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 and the Canino exit. And Josh is here, my man that's a St. Louis Cardinals fan. That's one of our loyal listeners. He's got a chair in the living room. He's got a St. Louis Cardinals hat on his dashboard, but we'll forgive him for that. But we appreciate him coming out. If you guys want to put names with faces and vice versa, come out and see us. I-45 in the Canino exit. By the way, Rudy's is here. Phenomenal barbecue. Keenan's a big fan of the sausage. He loves the sausage wrap. He always gets himself at least one or two sausages when we're out here. But he will save some for you. So come out here and check the sausage out from Rudy's. Rudy's does a great job. Our promo team is here. T-shirts. A bunch of stuff. There's some adult refreshments, if you know what I mean.
That surprised me.
Yeah, but you were pleasantly surprised, weren't you?
Yeah, I might have to get one of those.
Yeah, then
keep
behind
the trend
wheel.
Of dropping cuss words live on air going.
And then get behind the wheel and drive up north. So we're all ready for...
I'm not 12, Joel. I can have a beer and drive home.
Well, depends on how you look at it.
I'm not saying anything on that one.
Huh? One beer? You guys really don't drive after one beer? You're that scared? Do you not listen?
Scared.
Do you not listen to AJ's Gary Trichter ads?
Yeah. Thank you, Keenan. Keenan playing the theme for Jeopardy for us all.
Just telling you.
Appreciate that.
All right. So before the break, we said
yes. Go ahead, host. Go ahead, Dak Prescott.
Well, no,
you're a quarterback, and you set it up.
God, you're so sensitive, Joe. I'm just trying
Romo.
To.
He's being a Romo right
so
now.
He's so sensitive. Do we need to prepare a statement for you too, Joe?
Yes, please.
I can't ask questions.
Can
you're
you
the only
go?
One.
You set it up, so
no,
take it.
No, you brought it up. You're the only one that can ask questions.
All right. Somebody take it.
Go ahead, Keenan.
Normally, it's you two. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to know, where do you guys think Louisville falls? How far? And does U of H end up back in the top 25 now?
Louisville falls out of the top 10.
Out of the top 10?
Out of the top 10 from 5. Boy.
With only 2 losses.
That's a watch. They fall out of the top 10.
So explain to me then why Michigan and Clemson get a pass and stay in the top 4 with really kind of bad losses last week, and Louisville drops out of the top 10.
USC, the teams that are behind Louisville are playing better than Louisville right now. I mean, I think that's why they fall out of the top 10. And the loss to Houston, when the Cougars were not a top 10, not top 25 team. So that's why I think they fall out of the top 10.
I definitely, Barry, to answer your question, one, U of H is in the top 25 now in my mind.
Okay.
Before the game, you know, they wasn't in the top 25, so
that's what I'm saying.
That's
right.
Why.
But
that's
I think,
why Louisville,
I think they will be now.
I think they go back in the top 25.
I agree, but I think
how
that,
high though? I mean, we're talking top 20.
Think about where A&M fell when they lost
23.
23. So they're going to be in front of Stanford with three losses and A&M with three losses.
Definitely Stanford.
A&M will probably win. So I mean, they'll move up. Well, it's going to be some moving.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Louisville falls. I don't think they fall out of the top 10. I think they'll be right in that 10 ballpark. You think about where A&M fell the first time that they lost. They fell to 10. I think that safe landing area is in that 10 area for Louisville.
That's only one spot now. Yeah. You said out of the top 10 now.
Yeah. Well, but they were five last week, Louisville.
Yeah. Well, I think.
But five got beat by a no-ranked team. Mm-hmm.
But now has two top 10 wins.
Yeah, but still, they were no ranked. They wasn't even ranked, so they were not ranked. So
Iowa wasn't ranked. They beat Michigan. Michigan stayed in the top four.
They want Michigan to be in the
Clemson. Same thing.
They want those guys to be in the playoffs.
Here's the thing. I guarantee you.
Well, what do you think?
Most of the teams with two losses that you're seeing in the from 7 to 12.
Yeah.
If you start looking at it, most of their losses are to good teams. They're ranked pretty highly. I think Louisville. At the time, they have the one loss to Clemson, which is ahead of them at four, but their other loss is to an unranked U of H team. So,
yes.
So you, at least at the very least, you need to slide them to the back of the two loss teams.
They're gonna go,
which would put them at about 13.
Oklahoma,
which I think is about right.
I said they're gonna be out of the top 10.
I said
Colorado, Oklahoma, Penn State, yeah. Wisconsin, Washington are all playing better football right now.
Exactly, and look at Colorado's losses. Michigan
and USC.
I just
said in that 10 area. I think they're going to fall in that in around 10 to 12, whatever. Yeah. But I don't think they fall completely out.
No.
Although I think I don't know out of the top 25.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I think they'll be like I said, I think they'll be around 12.
Okay. Wait. Al wants to chime in on the U of H game. Al, we've been waiting a while. What's up, man?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So real quick, I just wanted to ask, so with U of H kind of undeniably being the best team in Texas at the beginning of the season, did the win last night kind of solidify that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, man. Matt, go ahead.
Did they kind of solidify that? No, I think A&M is still probably the best team. I mean, and I think they're right behind A&M. I mean, but I really think A&M is still the best team in Texas.
I would agree with that. And
yeah,
you know
I don't. And you do. You've called it from the get-go about what they were going to do and how they were going to finish and what was going to happen.
I like A&M's losses. If that's even a statement to Alabama, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss versus losing to Navy and SMU.
I don't like Ole Miss without Kelly.
That's not a horrible statement.
But I don't like that loss.
Well,
but like I said, you
nonetheless. I'll take three losses to SEC teams opposed to two losses to Navy and SMU.
I don't think there's anybody that can argue that. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. But I think that overall, from a U of H perspective, now it's about, now you have to finish strong.
Yes.
You don't, no more slip-ups. Go ahead and finish strong. Make a statement. And hopefully, regardless of what Herman does, you hang on to a majority of the recruits. Because the thing now is going to be, you're already looking towards next year. You got to take everything that you did last night and you got to capitalize on it immediately. You know this from being in the college game. That win should not have anything to do with the rest of this season. That win should directly be associated with and affect your next 3 to 5 years.
No doubt. And the recruits that they had on the sideline, you have to make sure you deliver those guys to your program.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a statement game for you, for the world, but also for your recruiting aspects and to get the guys that you want, that you get more five-star guys, just not one. You get maybe two or three of those five-star guys that's in the state and are in the city and you run. You build your program on wins like that.
Yep.
Yeah, if Ed Oliver was your first five-star, you better hope after that game last night you get a couple more because you said made a statement. You just got to capitalize on it.
One more point to Al's statement. One more point. It's funny because you could say A&M probably is the – but who would you take in one game, preparation-wise, in a big game? Let's say that you have
– better yet, put them head-to-head.
That's what I'm saying. Let's say you have
– we could get a bowl game like this.
Yeah, let's say you had
Texas
U of H
A&M versus U of H.
Or U of H. How about if you had it right down there on Kirby,
who you take
too?
In one game. Overall, I think you say, yeah, program-wise, A&M better than U of
H. I hope you people are listening
in
on the Texas
game,
Bowl.
Though.
I hope you people are listening to Barry Laminek on the Texas Bowl committee right now. If you're smart,
they gotta have a,
you line that game up right now, A&M and U of H.
They
got to
have a Big Ten. They got to have a Big Ten.
Yeah, the Big Ten's way too good for them. So anyway, what we got to do is we got to think about the fact that we can talk about that. Who would you take, A&M or U of H, in a one-game bowl game scenario to be the best team in the state and have bragging rights? Because that is going to be one heck of a game.
I know who I'd take.
And I know that one guy – and you know what? Who would you take in a recruiting war between those two guys? Because regardless of how they play on the field, both those guys can recruit their tails off. All kinds of stuff to debate right now, including the Shocker, which is being put up all over the place right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We're here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45, the Canino exit. We're here till 4 o'clock. It's Keenan, Barry, Joel, and Nick at the studio, who is still in his underwear dancing around, enjoying and basking in the Cougar win. We are ESPN 97.5.
Movember. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com.
Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we're back at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 and the Canino exit right here on the north side. If you want to come and join the show live, Barry Keenan and myself are here until 4 o'clock. We are going to be shaking hands, kissing babies, taking pictures, and talking sports and other things. I probably don't want to set you up to say the things that you said during the break.
Because, oh, I'll say them.
Man, Scott from Deer Park, he would be trying to fight traffic right now. He'd be bulldozing people to get
over.
Well,
we had Kirsten.
Barry, you're going to get it. It's too many H-Town.
I know. Houston
I'm already fans here right now.
We have
embrace
the crew here is all H-Town. And then we've got Kirsten in our ear yelling H-Town stuff, plus Nick putting together audio packages about H-Town. I'm just calling it like I
come
said.
Join
telling
us.
Me
so
I'm
come
hating.
Join us.
Just come saying I'm join hating. Us. I just tell the truth.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, and they refer to them as we. Their bandwagon.
Well, they go there, so that's fine.
Yeah, but they jump back on. I mean,
well,
they
you know,
were jumping
I will say
off.
This. No. I'll never say that someone that attends the university is a bandwagon fan. Although I will say it was very funny at the break. Kirsten says she fell down storming the field and got trampled. So U of H does need some practice with winning and storming the field and stuff. I will say that. That's – They got to get better at that. They got to get. You can't be falling down and getting trampled like it's a Black Friday one day sale. Like you can't.
You're driving home. I feel sorry for you.
You got to.
You know you
got to
go up 45. And somebody's going to.
In the last hour, people are coming in and they go, Barry Keenan, we don't care. What's he driving?
Come see
they just want to know
come
what you're driving. Because on the way
Trailer
home.
Will and Fran, Canino, Canino. Come
I will
see
be
me.
Way away from you. Because
you want to try the Canino exit on I-45?
On I-45.
Yeah, 45 and Canino.
All right.
Barry's already looking at Trailer Wheel and Frame to see if he can get some of those big knives that pop out of the tires and keep people away from him.
Ask that man over there that works here. Do they sell bulletproof glass here?
That's what it's come down to, folks. Yeah. Barry is embracing the villain role.
I am just
and he is adding
it like
to it.
It
by the minute. But yet he still hasn't said on the air what he said in the break, which Scott would be just absolutely.
What did I say during the break? I'll say it on air. I mean, I don't mind. I just don't remember what it was. I said a lot of things.
Yeah, you did.
During the break.
You want to talk about the high school that could beat U of H?
Oh, yeah. Well,
did you see his face just now? That's when we should have had the camera.
Well, I said.
Did you see his face?
Well,
that
because
comment.
They were saying that U of H was, like these world beaters. And I'm like, well, what? I'll even give you the Navy loss because the Navy is, they run the ball. And that's tough to stop the option. And it really is. No matter what you prepare for, that's why the option
we
is always effective.
That. We said that.
We said that.
But losing to SMU, there's no excuse for that. You might as well have lost to a high school team, losing to SMU. That's what I said during the break. And I stand by it. That is a terrible loss. Terrible loss.
The Pony Express.
If you were in Dallas, too,
I wouldn't care because they agree with me. The people at SMU know that was a big win for them.
That's because they're just waiting for some hot
tidies. Now they get to go from 1AA.
Wow.
And on that note, we're moving on.
And the Snagglepuss laugh is live and in living color because he is loving it up right now.
You want to know why you don't get any cheers at your comedy show now?
I don't care.
Look, the group says why.
The promotions crew, none of y'all are even old enough to get into a comedy club. What are you over here telling me? Come on, man.
Hey, if they could, it'd be tomatoes.
Yes, it would.
Oh, my God. Worse than that. Oh, so, there'd be something with, like, there'd be like a sock with a battery in it or something
like
that.
Yeah, I wish they would come to a show and heckle me.
Wow.
I could, because I don't have to censor myself like I do on air here.
Well, evidently you don't have to do it here either, because Granato and Salisbury and Mario Eli all let him fly. Sean was the one actually refereeing, and that's hard to believe. But
right.
Yeah. So if you want to come by and let some bombs fly, well, you can do that too. We just probably won't put you on the air. The game that you probably didn't see either, Barry.
Uh-huh.
The NFL game last night between the Saints and the Panthers.
Was it as bad as I thought it was going to be?
It actually was a little entertaining. The second half, the Saints were down by about 17 points at the half, came back and made a game of it, had a chance late, didn't do some things with it. But I think what people are going to take away from that game, aside from the fact that the Panthers won the game in a close game, is Luke Kuechly, the all-world linebacker, middle linebacker for the Panthers, had an injury last night. No one even knows what that injury is. They're speculating that it was a concussion, and he has been someone that's been through concussions a couple times in his career. But why they're talking about it is they had to take him off the field on a cart, and here is one of the toughest men in the NFL sobbing and weeping openly and basically with a glazed look in his eye that had you thinking, I'm not sure what happened to that guy, but it seems to be something major. There's something going on here that we don't know, and we'll wait to hear the medical reports, and we'll see what's going on. But Keenan, as a guy who played, and you've been through all these tests and know how the NFL is really focused on trying to figure out CTE and what's going on with head injuries, but it didn't even look like it was that big of a hit, and yet the guys from the Saints were coming over to the cart consoling him. And this looked like something major without seeing a major injury on the field.
That's very scary.
It's very scary. I mean, I think, you know, that they're saying that he's now they're reporting that he's in concussion protocol, which we all knew after we found out that it was a concussion. Because at first, nobody knew what injury it was.
Right.
Was it a knee or something like that? But, you know, when you're dealing with concussions, you really don't know how bad they are. You know, but here's a guy that has had three prior to this, and he's probably had some conversations with doctors, and they're like, man, this is your next one could be the one that you need to stop playing. So, you know, I could see why he was sobbing and crying going out, and the guys that play the game, they understand that, and they probably, some of the guys that were consoling him, they probably knew his situation because they were probably friends. We're all friends, and, you know, we probably talked about it. So, you know, and they probably knew the situation, and, you know, they just giving their condolences that, like, hey, man, it's going to be all right.
Let me tell you, the face that he made,
yes,
two things came to mind. Either this is it, I'm done, and the sport that I've played my whole life, I will no longer play, or his brain was so scrambled that he was crying because he probably had no idea what was going on.
The look that he gave was a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, because I thought it was his knee.
I did too. I had to go back and I rewound it and looked at it three times thinking, the way he's reacting, we had to miss an ankle or a knee or something, and there wasn't. He took a knee in the back of the head after he took a shot underneath the face mask, and the one that hit the face mask looked like it deflected, didn't look that big, but his own teammate got him in the back of the head as well. And I think the combination really shook him up, but boy, I'll tell you, that look was scary to see.
Because the look that I saw, I was in the airport, I couldn't hear the sound, so I just saw the look, and I was like, man, he's blown his knee out right away. But then when I got on the plane and started listening to the commentators on, and they said it was a concussion, I said, man, it's bad, because he feels like, you know, this could be the last one. And I think he may be out. I mean, me myself, he's going to be out more than a week. You know, being in concussion protocol now, I think because it's his fourth one, he's gonna be out more than a week.
The scary part is getting carted off the field for a concussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, having not even watched the game, but just hearing that is like, wow, that's a whole other level of concussions. Yeah, that's
so
balance.
So here's what's off.
Here's to your point,
here's the other one. Mark Ingram, the running back for the Saints, previous to Kuechly, he took a shot. That, again,
needed a head.
Yeah, needed
no,
a head.
No, a helmet to the back of the head.
Helmet to the back of the head, right?
Yes.
But literally, when he got up and then they showed him walk into the locker room, and it looked like he had two catastrophic knee injuries. He was so unstable.
Wow.
And was walking like, and you're like, man, that's some serious stuff that all these people that say, oh, you know, concussion stuff, they know what they're signing up for, and it's really not that bad. You look at those two in a nutshell, that is the poster for everything that the players are fighting for and for why it's so important to investigate and try to make a difference in this whole concussion CTE thing. Because, man, oh, man, Ingram looked like he was on a pair of high heels for the first time on ice.
He was out before he hit the ground, and the ground woke him back up.
Yeah, the replay showed when he was going down, you know how you'd, like, turn your head and wince because you know your head's going to hit the ground? There was none of that. It was boom, boom.
Believe it or not, that happens a lot in MMA where you'll see guys get knocked out and – what wakes them up is hitting the mat.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened last night. Because he was out on the way down, and he hit the ground and kind of came to.
Which only magnifies what happened to Luke Kuechly then. If he was wobbly and needed help but was still able to walk off,
right?
How bad was Kuechly's? That's crazy.
With the cart, we all thought it was a leg. And it, you know, and that's why it's a scary profession. God bless Mac for coming through okay and being okay and Trap and everybody else that plays the game. But, you know, it's a violent sport, and sometimes people forget about it. And it is as intensely violent. And, you know, someone said on ESPN today, if you were creating a new game for the nation to try and get behind and they created football today, they probably wouldn't allow it because of the violence.
Definitely. I was talking to a doctor. I was in San Diego for some concussion stuff myself. And he said, you should get your kid into rugby. And I think that would be the sport that everybody would, if it was a new sport, play rugby. And he was, you know, he said it's a fun game, but they know how to tackle.
Yep. Yeah.
It's less concussions in rugby than in football.
They don't have a helmet, which ends up being like a weapon.
Yes.
And also, everybody thinks because you have it on, it's protection for your head, and it's not.
Yes. Everybody's
crazy because that's – I hate to keep making MMA references, but the same thing. People think the gloves make you safer.
Right.
It actually doesn't. Bare-knuckle fighting is actually safer than having – the gloves on. The gloves are to protect your hands, not your head.
No doubt.
Well, the gloves are off here. They are all the time, as you can tell, because nothing's off limits, and we like to flick it around. But then, again, you guys think we all hate each other, and that's for you to decide and us to know what really happens on behind the scenes. But at the same time, we are here 1 to 4 every Monday through Friday, and today we are at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 in the Canino exit. Rudy's is here with barbecue, so come get you some lunch. If you want to get a late lunch, get a couple of beverages, stop by, say hi. We'll take a few pictures, kiss a few babies, showing you how you get yourself a gooseneck dump, and you can get some of the largest inventory of trailer tires, parts, and accessories all over on one place at one time. Get your truck all doctored up and have a great weekend by hearing us all at the same time, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.